This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
As we're going through all of these different, it's the 10 challenges, the 10 character tests of Joseph. I'd like to remind you to say that it's not a progressive 1, 2, 3 to 10. You can find yourself at 10 and then you'll find yourself at 1 again. But these are the 10 tests that Joseph had to go through. And most of us will have to go through to finally get the purpose of our lives. And something that I'm going to say every time is there's a lot of us that live in the dream that God's given us, but we never reach the destiny. We never reach that purpose that God has for us. And there's many reasons why, and these 10 tests are part of the reasons why we're not able to get to it. So this is chapter 3. We are talking about the palace test. So welcome to chapter 3. And so we're just going to work through some scripture this morning. And so this is a high point. So last time we spoke about the pit test, and that was kind of one of those low moments. And we're speaking about one of the higher moments is when we are able to be in the palace. And I would like to this morning speak a little bit about the palace, but let's open up with a bit of scripture. Genesis 39. When Joseph was taken up to Egypt by Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was a captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now listen to this. The Lord was with Moses, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. So he became the PA. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. Let's stop there quickly. What I'd like us to take note of is the importance to understand that Potiphar is not a saved man. Potiphar does not believe in the Jewish God. He is fully Egyptian. Yet he sees on Joseph's life that there's anointing. He recognizes that he has the favor of God on his life. From that day, Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property. The Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sakes. All his household affair ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibilities over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Wouldn't that be awesome? If you can come home at the end of the day and the only thing you ever have to worry about is what are we going to eat tonight? And even as men, you know, we've got great wives, you know, we kind of go, what are we going to eat tonight? And the wife sorts us out. So, you know, we have our own Josephs in the house. And if you're married and you have a wife like that, you are blessed. All right. Come home to a clean house and everything's perfect. But this is the favor that we see on Joseph's life. And so we're going to speak a little bit about prosperity this morning. And I need to put my little hashtag terms and conditions apply. Now, first of all, I'm per se a person that is almost to the other side of prosperity. I don't like prosperity. I don't like the way that our church and our age has made a hyper grace prosperity gospel. It is frightfully dangerous. The problem is what it does and what it tends to do for us, it makes us go to the other side. But what we have is a biblical understanding of prosperity. So we have to look through Scripture, what is God's heart when it comes to prosperity? And as we continue reading, and we see in Genesis 39, verse 23, the warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Wouldn't it be incredibly awesome that whenever you went to work, you were successful? In everything you did, it was successful. Yet I do believe that is the heart that God has for us, that whatever we put our hands to, it will succeed because of God. And that's what today is about. That's what this morning is about. We see that as well when Joseph ends up working for Pharaoh, the same story. He became the second most powerful man on earth, and the Lord made him succeed. We're going to get to that later in the series. I believe that God has given us four keys to prosper. So we're going to start this morning with the first key. The first key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. The first way for you to prosper is to have the presence of the Lord. The Hebrew word for prosperity is to push forward. And we see what God is doing with Joseph. He said, whenever Joseph steps into a position, he pushes him forward. I believe that's the Lord's heart for each one of us as his children. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are sons and daughters of the living God, and his heart is to push us forward. Now, I need to say that if you can have the presence of God, you can get away from the presence of God, as we see what Cain did in Genesis 4. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod. He actually left. And it speaks about how we can move away from the presence of God. We can leave his presence. Genesis 26. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Do you see that the Lord really wants to prosper you? Now, once again, hashtag. What I'm not saying is that the Lord only wants to prosper you, and that you must never suffer, and you must never struggle. In fact, we see in Joseph's life so much suffering, and that's why it's important we need to talk about him being prospered at the same time. So it would seem that Isaac was very prosperous. Therefore, obey the terms of this covenant so that you will prosper in everything you do. The Lord was with him. That was Deuteronomy verse 29. 2 Kings. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. And then 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. God's heart is that we truly prosper. So here's the question. Does your employer believe he is blessed because you work for him? Does your employer believe he's blessed because you work for him? See, the difference between a believer and a non-believer is that we carry the presence of God where we go. The key is the Lord's presence. God wants to push us forward. So then you ask, your question will be, what is the key to the presence of the Lord? Thank you. Great question. The key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. God calls us to a place of obedience. Let's take a look at Scripture. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father's early years and did not worship the images of Baal. Now listen to this. 1 Samuel 18, verse 14. David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. And if we look back at verse 12, Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and turned away from Saul. David was obedient. Saul was disobedient. We see that when David was disobedient, when David sinned, he repented. It was a man, when the God sent the prophet to David, David immediately repented. David turned from his evil, turned from his wicked ways, and repented. We don't see that with Saul. Look, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, but you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship gods you have not known before. Now I need to say, this is not a doctrine of works. We are saved by grace. We are saved 100% by grace. By nothing that we have done, we have been saved. But if you want to succeed, you need to obey. God will take you through your storm successfully if you obey. We will have success in our storms if we obey God, and we'll best have it easier on ourselves. So therefore, it's grace and obedience. It's both. Job 36. If you listen and obey God, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their years will be pleasant. But if they refuse to listen to him, they will cross over the river of death, dying from lack of understanding. So what is the key then for obedience? What is the key to obedience? Key three. The key to obedience is faith. Many of us have more faith in our geezer than we have in God. You know, when you put on that, you turn that hot water tap in the morning, especially this time of the year, all right, I know you've all seen the beautiful white mountains that we had this week, and you turn on that shower, and what happens, right? That water is freezing cold, yet you have absolute faith that the hot water is coming. Now, I don't know if you have one of those older houses or if you've been at one of those hotels where you kind of put the water on and then you have to go walk around the hotel once or the house once so that the hot water can finally reach it. But you still have faith that the hot water is coming. You know, the only reason you realize your geezer's broken is because you've been standing there half an hour or an hour. That's when you realize, but there must be something wrong with my geezer. But so we have so much faith when we turn on that hot water tap. And if we could just have the same when we turn on the tap of Christ, when we turn on that tap of obedience, when we say, Lord, I have faith that you'll come through. I'm going to be obedient to what you're saying. I'm having faith to just activate this. I turn on the spiritual tap, even though the water at that point is cold. I know that you will turn this around. I know that what you've said is what I'll trust and what I'll obey, and I'll step into that. Many times we don't obey because we don't believe there's any consequences. Often, when it comes to our relationship with God, we believe there's no consequences if I listen or don't listen. God will always reward those that are obedient because God is a rewarder. So I want to encourage you, when God is asking you to do something, when God is saying for us to do something, it's not that he wants to be funny, it's not because he just wants to do it for the sake of, because God wants to bless us. Be diligent with the small, and he will bless us with more. So often you hear, you know, I'll have a better attitude, or I'll work harder when I get a promotion, when I get that job, when I get that position, then I'll start working harder. God's saying, do all things as unto God. Because God will reward you with more because you've been diligent with a little. Listen to this scripture in Ephesians. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. In other words, this is the first commandment with a reward. If you honor your mother and father, things will go well with you or for you, and you'll have a long life on earth. Isn't that beautiful? God's saying that there's a reward, that it will go well with us if we obey our parents. How much more so if we obey God? Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for the people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you'll be paid back for the wrong that you've done, for God has no favorites. God's saying, guys, listen to me. If you do as I ask, I really want to bless you. But if you don't, you remove my blessing from you. I cannot bless you as I'd want to bless you if you'd listen to me. Our little one, Michaela, is now 1 year and 8 months, and she's adorable 80% of the time. And that 20% of the time is just that testing time. And apparently they say terrible twos. And then I ran into a parent the other day, it says it's not terrible twos, it's terrible threes. And Michaela's 1 year, 8 months, and it's already terrible tantrums. So I don't know how this tantrum thing works, but apparently it seems to be a lifelong curse. So for the next 4 years, by the looks of it, I'm going to be struggling with these tantrums. But we've got those gas heaters, and so we try and teach her not to touch a gas heater, whether it's on or off, because that one time that she does touch it, when it's on, it's going to be catastrophic. And the problem is that whether it's on or off, she wants to touch it. And I'm not trying to be funny with her or be hard with her or just to try and be spiteful. I just don't want her to burn her hands off. I want her to be blessed. And so I'm trying to work out as a parent for the first time, how do you reward your child? And I'm listening to a lot of teachings on that, and there's great ways that you can reward children. But the point is that the Lord wants to bless us, and he calls us to do things not to be funny, but so that we don't get hurt. His heart is truly to protect us. Hebrews 3. And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it to the people who disobeyed him? So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. Speaking about the Israelites going into the promised land, it wasn't because of disobedience, it was because of unbelief. Therefore, the key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. The key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. And the key to obedience is faith. The fourth key that the Lord has for us is the key of faith. And as we see that previous scripture in Hebrews, it wasn't that they were disobedient. You'd think that it was because they're disobedient. It was because they didn't have faith. There was no faith. They disobeyed because they did not believe. So faith comes from hearing. And hearing through the word of Christ, Romans 10. It's not a doing, it's a hearing. It's not by our worship songs, it's not by our hymns, it's not about what we do or what we try and it's hear, believe, obey. God has called us to know Him, and to know Him means to know the Word of God, and therefore I invite us to meditate on the Word of God, to reflect on the Word of God. Ross has got a group here on Wednesday nights where it's a reflection on the Word, where we take time to spend time in the Word and to reflect on what God's saying, to make the Word of God part of us. The Word of God has the power to change your life. Know the Word of God in your business. In your daily work, in your daily walk, you need to know the Word of God. Put it like this. Do you rely more on your degree to do your work, or do you rely more on the Word of God to do your work? Is that good? Is that okay? I know that might be a bit of a tough word, and a lot of you thinking, now how am I going to know the Word of God if I can't do my accountancy, or if I can't add up, or if I can't do use the doctor's training? How do I be a doctor? You know? But do you think through your degree, or do you think through the Word? Are you influenced more through your training or more through the Word of God? What influences you more, because that's what you're going to rely on more? So when you have a conundrum at work, or conundrum in your family, or a challenge that's outside of your normal training, how do you interpret it? We need to interpret it through the Word of God. By hearing the Word, we are able to interpret. And for those of you, I know we're driving less, but it's maybe good for you just to get one of these audio Bibles. They're free, and you can get so many different versions right now. Find yourself an audio Bible and listen to the Word of God. Take time to listen to the Word of God. When you do worship songs, I invite you to find worship songs like Shane and Shane that sings Scripture. Find those old hymns for those of us that's a little older like myself. I am old. I am uncle. I've realized when I came to Durbanville in Cape Town, no one called me uncle. I came to Durbanville and suddenly I was oom and uncle. So I am old. But go read up those old hymns, study them, get ourselves full of the Word of God so that we can navigate through what God has for us as Joseph would have done. Hear, believe, obey. Mackie, can we put up the four keys together there? So if you want to take a photo of all four keys at the same time, you can see those four keys. I have a good friend of mine that was in Shafer Cape Town with us. I'm not going to mention his name. Very successful businessman. And they, as a company, decided that their company is going to be a company to glorify Christ. And as the directors, they made it their personal goal to ensure that their company belonged to Christ. Now, most of us would say, yes, if you have your own company, my company belongs to Christ. This is what they did. They said, if our company belongs to Christ, Christ is one of our partners. And Christ is our, so we are co-heirs with Christ. So Christ is a 50% partner of this company. Isn't that incredible? That's amazing, right? Steve says it needs to be 100%. Their faith was to 50%. And let me prove it to you. So they said, Lord, 50% of what we make out of this company goes straight to you. We as the directors will take the other 50%. And this is what changes the equation. Lord, how much money are we going to make this year? And we'll start by tithing that 50% before the year starts. And so they prayed, and the Lord gave them a figure. They heard a figure of the Lord. They all agreed with that is the figure that God gave them. The beginning of the year. They then gave that money away to churches and to charities and to however they felt the Lord gave, told them to give that money. That's how they started the year. Faith. They had faith to do that. And then they were obedient. And look, I don't know if you've ever done that. I don't know if you earn a fixed salary, it's a bit of a different story. But if you're trusting that this is the amount of business that we'll get in this year, and 50% before we even start goes to the Lord, and they had to take personal, even out of their personal banks and their own personal money, they had to give money to be able to give that 50%. And the Lord came through for them. The end of the year. Because they were obedient to what God said they needed to be. That's true faith. Now, I wish I could have faith like that. I'm not even claiming to be close to that. And luckily, I know people like this. And it's such an honor to be around people like that. And to befriend people, because that builds your faith. And if you want your faith built, be around people of men and women of faith that stand truly for faith, to grow your faith. So join one of the small groups. Join if you're not in one of our small groups, or join one of the grow groups and put out your faith for God to meet with you. And say, Lord, I'm putting out my faith. Come and help me. Come and teach me. So my grow group, we'll be talking about intercession, corporate intercession. How do I hear the Lord's voice? How do I pray? How do I respond in prayer? Dreams, I'll work through some dreams. What do dreams mean? Interpretation of dreams. A lot of us have dreams, and we want to know what does this mean, because I don't understand my dream. So we'll work through some of those things. But you are able to come to this grow group and say, Lord, I'm putting up my faith. I'm going to be obedient. I really want to grow in you, because I want to succeed. So that other people will see the succession of my life and realize that you are God. Egypt saw the power of the living God through one man. In the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the same with Daniel and his friends. They had an excellent spirit on themselves. They were successful, so much so that the kings would say, you do not speak evil of the God of Daniel, for he is a living and true God. And I'm going to give a little bit away of my final, the part of the purpose, but we are so full of ourselves that we miss so much what God has for us. We hang on to that one prophecy. Some of us are just praying, Lord, can I just have one prophecy for my life? Just something. And that's a good prayer to ask. It's a good place to start. The problem is many of us sit with one prophecy and that's what we hold on to with everything. And the prophecy becomes the idol. It becomes the ultimate. It becomes the everything. It's about the God of the promise, not the promise in itself. I mean, if you look at the promise on Abraham's life, he did not have all those children in his lifetime, did he? He did not see the fulfillment because God is a God outside of time. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God wants you to succeed not for your sake, but for the sake of the people outside. Not for your sake only, but for the sake of people outside, so that we can look in and say, but I want a God that will bless me. So often you see these Christian cars with these, back in the day in the 90s, we Dale, you guys remember the little fish sticker, and it would be a little bumper sticker. God is good, and the car is so rusted. And you look and you go, really, brother? Is God good? Unfortunately, that's the God that we sometimes speak to people. And once again, I don't want to push prosperity here. I also don't want to push works here, but I'm saying that because you are working where you're working, people are blessed. Pastor Sias once came to us preaching, and in the sermon, God told him, tell the people that you are a blessing to them. And literally the cold sweat started because he had to work through this, and he said, Lord, I'd rather be obedient. And he said from the pulpit, I am a blessing to you. You are blessed because I am preaching to you. Because he had to have the revelation that they are blessed because he brings the presence of God. And it's a twofold. We are blessed because we are here. I am blessed because you are here. I am blessed this morning because Darlene's son brought worship. And we were able to worship together. I am blessed because of what Dale brought. And I want to say to you, wherever you are a blessing for your family. You are a blessing for your work. You are a blessing for those around you. You are a blessing to your friends. Because you have the favor of God in your life. You have the presence of God that you can activate in people's lives. So I encourage us in this crazy time that you're locked up at home to sort this out in your heart, to say, Lord, I really, when we go back and we're back in what the normality will look like in the future, I want to be a blessing to people around me. I want people to be drawn to me because I want them to see you. The greatest compliment you can get is if someone says, you remind me of Jesus. It's one of the greatest compliments you can get. If someone says, I really experience God in your life. It means you carry the presence of the King. And how do we get that point? It starts by hearing, spending time in the Word of God. So we build up our faith. And when we build up our faith, we can start being obedient. And in our obedience, we start having the presence of the Lord in our lives. Let's close in prayer this morning. For those of you on the Zoom groups, we're unfortunately not going to be able to do breakout rooms. I apologize. But I ask that you maybe take some time, walk around the plot, walk around the neighborhood, and just let's start saying, Lord, I desire your presence in my life. I desire people to experience the Holy Spirit when I walk into a room. When I go shop. When the Takealot guy drops off or the Checkers guys come and drop off, I pray that they'll experience the presence of God. Father, this morning we come and say, Lord, that we desire
to be successful, and that we will be obedient even in the pits, even in the dark, even in the valleys, so that we can come out successful. We ask not for riches. We ask not for poverty. We pray and ask for our allotted portions. Especially in a time, Lord, where many have lost their jobs, many have had to take pay cuts. We desire our allotted portion. We desire to be successful in everything we do. So that people can experience the presence of God. That people can experience peace. That we will be the gatekeepers of the peace and the rest of God. Where people just want to be around us because they can experience silence in their souls. Hope. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.